Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at FactorMeals.com/Listen50 and use code Listen50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. FactorMeals.com/Listen50. Code Listen50.
The premier baseball show in Chicago. Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
The starter Shane Smith went 6 innings tonight. Followed by Steven Wilson, Jordan Leisure, and now Brandon Eisert out of the bullpen. In the air to center field. Taylor can't get there, and it's going to go all the way to the wall. A two-run triple for Eric Wagaman, and that'll be the ball game. White Sox only offense tonight, a solo home run from Andrew Vaughn. They lose this second game of this three-game series, 3-1.
23-year-old right-hander Cade Horton, Cubs' top pitching prospect, about to make his major league debut. Now the payoff pitch. Called strike three. Cade Horton strikes out Brandon Nimmo with a fastball. He'll keep that baseball for a long time.
He's got a bunch of family and friends there we just saw on the monitor, which you kind of expected. So congratulations to him with his first big league strikeout on the first hitter, no less. That's very good.
Horner fields on one knee, flips to first. Out number three. Cubs win. They even up their series in New York.
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
Welcome in, everyone. How you doing on a Sunday morning? How am I doing? Thanks for asking. I am delightful. Low brass. Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers, all of you who have had mothers. I think that's everybody. And all of you who may eventually be mothers. Yeah, that math checks out, doesn't it? It is Matt Spiegel here with you on a Sunday morning on Hit and Run. Editor's note, I am broadcasting from home today, and usually I talk very loud, and it really deeply annoys my wife. It is Mother's Day, so her request is that I whisper. Instead, I'm not going to do that, but I am going to try to keep my volume under control. So if you feel like, my God, Spiegel's just not as into it. He's not as into the baseball this morning as he usually is. I count on his excitement. Just know that it's part of what I'm doing as a Mother's Day present. And consider it my present to you if you're annoyed by my usual level of fervor and excitement. But who can't be excited about baseball? My God, it is a beautiful Monday, Sunday here in Chicago, and Cade Horton made his debut. We're going to sit in that story and talk about it and think about it quite a bit in our very quick show. It's an early game for the Cubs and the Mets. This game's on TV. It's on Roku. It's the first of their Sunday morning baseball games. You know how Peacock did that a few years ago? Roku's doing it now. So Cubs-Mets on Roku. That does mean, though, that the only local broadcast that you get of this game is right here. Pre-game coverage coming up at 10:30. First pitch at 11:05. That's the only local broadcast right here on The Score and on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. By the way, tune in to Spiegel and Holmes tomorrow. That's us, me and Lawrence, tomorrow for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Cubs versus Rockies at Wrigley Field on May 26th. It is all provided by Bosch Power Tools. The more you Bosch, the more you feel like a Bosch. And yeah, I don't know what that means either. Every time Pat Hughes reads it, he expresses a a bit of curiosity, and it is quite delightful. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And look, I get excited about big-time pitcher debuts. I always have. Most recently in this town, it feels like the Michael Kopech debut, you know? Crochet for opening day as a starter on the South Side was exciting. Because, like, oh, they're going to try and make him a starter. But, you know, the team was so bad. But sometimes it can be a guy who you've heard about for a long time. Cade Horton, biggest Cubs pitching prospect debut since Pryor and Wood? I mean, I remember getting excited about Caleb Killian's debut, folks, and we talked about it. But really, this is a much different dude. Cade Horton is a number 7 overall draft pick in the MLB draft. He's a big-time, multi-sport star athlete. I think I'll get this in right now, Sean, just in case anybody doesn't know. His senior year in high school, Cade Horton accounted for 4,000 yards and 40 touchdowns as a quarterback. And he was recruited to play both at Oklahoma. He took a baseball scholarship at Oklahoma, was going to walk on for the football team. If he had not gotten hurt in 2021 and had walked on in that quarterback room, he and rookie Caleb Williams would have been in the same quarterback room. That I love that. So anyway, and then he came back at Oklahoma after being hurt and pitched in the College World Series. He is not afraid of big moments. And didn't you notice that last night? Cade Horton, in his debut, was nails. Nails! Yes, he gave up a 3-run home run to Brett Beatty. But he kept the adrenaline in check in his first inning, which was the second inning. More on that in a second. He got in trouble in the third and got out of it. More on that in a few seconds. But just overall, that is a calm dude on the night of his debut. But anytime a new pitcher debuts, you get a chance to really kind of take in their whole vibe. What do they look like? What do they remind you of? What kind of impression do you get from watching him? Is he frenetic? Is he sweaty? Is he calm? Does he stand tall? Does he walk around the mound a lot? Is he taking his time? Is he moving fast? I thought he was moving very deliberately and quickly. Couple times I thought he was a tad frenetic. I went to high school with that guy, by the way, tad frenetic. He was a little jumpy, but a sweet kid nonetheless. Whatever, honey. Okay. Happy Mother's Day.
I love that we have a real peanut gallery today.
We have a genuine one woman peanut gallery today. It's so true, Sean. She's doing a jigsaw puzzle. It's Mother's Day. You know, she can do what she wants. But she's
I want to know the results of the jigsaw puzzle at the end of the show. Okay.
She's gonna nail it. She's gonna nail it. Don't worry. Anyway, he's a tad frenetic, but boy, he's fun to watch. And he's kind of a short armor. You know, like the arm comes back and forward real quick. Ron Coomer was calling it a short arm swing. And he mentioned early on in that game, he's like, oh, because Coom thinks like a hitter, obviously. And he's noticing, getting a chance to watch Horton from his perch for the first time. And I remember Coombs saying early on, because I was driving in to do some TV work on Fox last night after spending some time with the in-laws out in the burbs, because I'm the best husband ever. And I was driving in and listening to the radio, and I got a lot from Coombs in the first few innings, which was delightful. But Coombs said, boy, that change of pace, when he develops that changeup and uses that, that's going to be a big pitch for him. More on that later on in the show. Oh, I think he just threw one changeup last night, and the timing of it is epic. But let's talk about the usage, and we will get to the White Sox. We will get to your texts and your phone calls and such at 312-644-6767. But the decision was made to use an opener, not let Cade Horton start. Folks, I disagreed with the decision. Hi, my name is Matt, and I disagreed with Craig Counsell's decision. And we talked about it a little bit on Friday on Spiegel and Holmes. Then there it was in practice last night, and it worked beautifully. Got to admit, it worked beautifully. Here's a few reasons why it worked, a few reasons why they did it. Number one, the reason why they did it is to limit the amount of times that Cade Horton, in his debut, was going to have to start with Francisco Lindor, Juan Soto, and Pete Alonso, the best 1-2-3 in baseball right now, and that includes the Dodgers. Yeah, I think this is the best 1-2-3 in baseball. Better than Mookie and Shohei and Freddie Freeman? It's pretty crazy. But anyway, so that's one thing. And but he, it worked beautifully because Brad Keller as an opener had a perfect 1-2-3 inning. But part of why it worked so well is because of what Cade Horton did at the beginning of that game and in the second inning of that game before he came in. Here's Cade Horton on talking about working out of the bullpen to start the game. While Brad Keller is out there pitching the first, Cade Horton is still throwing in the pen.
I was in the pen warming up. I was warming up. I wanted to treat it just like a start, and that's why I came down in the it would have been the top of the second. I came down to the dugout and wanted to come out of the dugout instead of running out of the pen.
So that is the key right there. After Keller gets his 1-2-3 inning, it's the top of the second, and Horton walks in. Coombe told you about it on the radio if you were listening. And so that, so after the Cubs' top of the second, he just walks right out of the dugout to the mound. And instead of walking in from the bullpen, which he has never done in the minor leagues. That was part of why I didn't want this to happen. He's never come out of the pen in the minor leagues. He did in college as a closer for a while, but he's never done it in the minors as he's gotten ready. So he smartly, perhaps with Tommy, with counsel, with whoever, went to the dugout. Here's a little more Cade on how he didn't change the pregame routine.
Everything was normal. I wanted to try to keep it as normal as possible. I would say I'd probably cut a few things out just given the situation. Like I felt like with the adrenaline and atmosphere, like I'm going to be ready. So I just wanted to slow everything down.
So, I mean, that's awesome to hear how much you thought about that, and they were able to replicate the routine. If Keller doesn't go perfect 1-2-3, it can get messy, right, if he gets in trouble. And we watched Quinn Priester be used in the same exact way in Milwaukee a week ago Friday, the game the Cubs beat him, what, 10-0? And Priester, in his first start, got used as the bulk guy in a bullpen game like this, and it didn't work out at all. This one worked perfectly. And Horton was really, really good. He got in trouble in the third inning of this one last night. In that third inning, the Mets already losing, Brett Beatty struck out swinging, but then he hit Francisco Alvarez, and Tyrone Taylor reached on catcher interference. So all of a sudden, you got one out, you got two on, because Taylor's bat hit Miguel Amaya's glove. So one out, two on, you got Lindor and Soto coming up. Here's what it sounded like when he got out of it in the third inning on the radio.
Here's the pitch. Soto hits one on the ground, fielded by Horner, roaming to his left on the outfield. Grass flips to first in time. And Cade Horton works into and out of a jam here in the third.
So Lindor flew out to PCA, and then you heard that ground out. Here's Ron Coomer talking about what he saw from Cade Horton in that third inning.
I just think he's able to control the emotion of pitching right now. You know, so first inning, you know, he got through it very good. He got the strikeout. But then you get a little, you know, he hits Alvarez after the first out. And then you get catcher's interference. Now you get the top of the lineup coming up. And that pitch in there for a strike to Dansby, counts 0-2. But he was able to control himself and still execute pitches. You know, and that's the key. Got the little routine fly ball off the bat of Lindor. And, you know, and then you got Soto. You know, you got the guy that's been in the league for 10 minutes and a guy with the biggest contract in baseball history facing each other. And, you know, the kid won. Kid won the battle. And that was excellent to see. But the control of the emotion and the breathing and all that, it sounds pretty simple. It is not.
We are going to spend some time, we obviously are already this morning, and we will, you know, for the next, you know, the rest of this baseball season at times. But today we're going to spend some time really living in the possibilities with this kid. I don't know if he's an ace. I'm not saying he's, you know, that he's Justin Verlander. Ryan Dempster was great the other day on the radio station talking about how not every prospect is Justin Verlander. I saw Eno Saris, who you've heard on this show before, comp the stuff of Cade Horton to Nick Pivetta, who's having a great year right now for the Padres. Or Brandon Pfaadt, who's having a very solid year as what, the two or the three in Arizona? That'd be great. That'd be great if this kid turns into a two or a three as a power righty who can miss bats and get strikeouts. The Cubs don't have that. They don't have that. So you could slot that in between Steele and Imanaga if all three are healthy. You can slot it in between Imanaga and Matthew Boyd in a rotation and have Tyone be your four. Oh, boy, that sounds nice, right? Or have Horton be there, whatever it is. But in a season like this, when you're going for it, kids like this have to help you. They have to help you as you're trying to be a contender. And this kid was really good last night and clearly isn't going anywhere, at least for starters. Here's Craig Counsell post-game on how Cade Horton did a nice job.
I thought he did a nice job. Obviously, the three-run homer is a big play in the game. But he threw a ton of strikes. I think he learned that his stuff definitely works here, plays here, and just in the zone. That was the big thing. So he did a nice job, and we pitched really well tonight. Kudos to the relievers and the bullpen for doing a heck of a job. It was a very, very well-played game.
So, I mean, look, that's a big win. Coming after Friday's ugliness, first time they've lost three in a row all year long, the last two against San Francisco here, and then that one on Friday. First start through the rotation in the missing Imanaga formation. That's a big win last night. And they played well. They were aggressive offensively. PCA hitting leadoff. We'll talk about that at some point here. That's a very, very nice win for the first place Chicago Cubs. Today is the last day of what we deemed the incredibly difficult schedule to start. The Marlins come in starting tomorrow in Chicago, and Mother's Day is the end of the stint, and look what the record is. I mean, my goodness. You've got a situation now where, coming through all of this absurdity with the schedule, the Cubs at their worst after Mother's Day are going to be five games over 500 at their worst. That, folks, is amazing, because we were talking about at the beginning of the year we would have accepted two games under 500, one game under 500, something around there. You'd be like, well, considering that schedule, you got to feel pretty good. Now they're going to be five over at worst. Right now, six over. They could be seven over if they win later on today. Little more Craig Counsell talking about a really good young veteran catcher. Can I say that? Can I call Miguel Amaya a young veteran? Because he's transitioned, and I'll tell you why. But here's Counsell on Amaya.
I thought Miguel Amaya did a heck of a job tonight. It's not easy, going through bunch of pitchers, handling a major league debut. He did a great job in Palencia's inning, I thought. Getting Danny through that inning, a tough inning.
So he's talking about Daniel Palencia's inning, which was monstrous. That bullpen needs some discussion, and I think it might be under some changes. But Miguel Amaya, you know what I keep thinking about with Miguel Amaya? Remember when Kyle Hendricks was on the comeback trail, and he worked with Miguel Amaya a bunch in the minor leagues? And just loved him, talked about it. Just think about that in addition, because that was in between Amaya's first big league stint and when he came back to stay. So Amaya has been a dude who has been up and down and been told what he needs to work on. He's been up and worked with Tommy Hotovy a bunch, all these different pitchers a bunch, different catchers, etc. It's super, super impressive. Sean Sears is hustling and has Kyle Hendricks talking about Miguel Amaya from a couple
years ago. Yeah, that goes to Miggy, I think. Miggy's been so dialed in. He's been calling such a good game, and it's been allowing me to get out of my own way. In a way, he's calling a lot of curveballs for me, just a good mix, throwing heaters up, things I wouldn't normally do probably. But if it's unpredictable to me, I think that's a good thing right now. It's being unpredictable for the hitters too. So that's kind of where we're at. He's been so locked in, trusting him, and that's probably been the biggest difference in the success.
Great pull, Sean. If a pitcher who's a professor like Hendricks loved Amaya, and again, that was in the minors in between big league stints. I mean, Miguel's attitude and his mindset is just freaking awesome. Here's Amaya from last night on Horton. He talked about how he helps a pitcher in their debut.
What do you see as the biggest thing you can do to help a guy with his debut?
Keep them calm. Trusting his strength and executing pitches.
So Miguel Amaya talked about Horton in a specific way, and I want to hear this cut. I have just read the quote, but Sean, let's hear if it sounds as cool as it reads.
He's a pro. He's a competitor out there. Just notice it right away, his presence. He's like a, you know, he's a warrior. I was executing good pitches and dominating the sun.
He's a warrior. Dominating the zone, not the sun. If he's dominating the sun, then we have a story. We have, like, I mean, we've got an all-timer. We've got a Highlander, essentially. We've got we've got a shapeshifter or an airbender.
He went from biggest debut in Cup history to turning him into a literal superhero.
He is a genuine superhero dominating the sun. No, he's dominating the zone, people. Come on, keep it together.
You're right. I'm sorry. It's my bad.
It's Mother's Day.
We were supposed to keep it. This is supposed to be easy listening, hit and run.
Yes.
I'm throwing the wrench in it.
Sorry, now I'm getting too loud. I'm going to upset the jigsaw puzzler to my left.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Yeah, keep it down. But he's a warrior. Dude, we've known this. I have known this for a while. I know it more as I get older. The character of a baseball player matters. The character of a person obviously matters. The character of an athlete matters. But man, baseball challenges your humanity. It challenges your character. What do you got? And if you're a pitcher, every single pitch has to be competitive. Every single moment has to be competitive. You can't waste pitches. We've barely talked about the stuff of this kid. We're going to talk about it more in the 10 o'clock hour. We're only here until 10:30. That first segment of the 10 o'clock hour, we're going to do team of the moment then, and get your guesses ready. Make sure you've sent your money to Southside Ron. He runs the pool for team of the moment on the weekly. Yeah, I believe he's 1-1. We'll see what he does.
I'm trying to teach him Venmo. We'll see if we can open it up to other people.
He's got it. Just send cash. Just put cash in an envelope, write Southside Ron on it, and put it in the mailbox. I'm sure it'll find
everyone knows where he is. Yeah,
everybody knows. All the mailmen know Southside Ron, but he runs the pool. So we'll do team of the moment in the 10 o'clock hour, and that's when we'll also talk about Cade Horton's stuff and a specific moment from last night's game it gives me the vapors. I get the vapors over good young pitchers, man.
Dominating the sun.
The Cubs have an airbender. All right, 312-644-6767 is the number. I can't read your texts. It's very sad. I can't get into the text screen here at home. Just trust me. I'm sure they're all excellent and funny, and I appreciate all the compliments, and I didn't see any of the insults. So, you know. It's a good morning for everybody. But if you want to call, you can, and then Sean will type him up and we'll get rolling. We need to talk about the best story on the South Side, and it's not the Pope. I mean, this morning, although it actually might be the Pope. Did you see what happened on Friday night? We'll talk about this. There's an incredibly important Pope update to give you, and we'll talk about who on the field is the best story for the White Sox. We'll do that next. At around 9:45, we'll talk to Jack McMullen, Oak Park River Forest's own, who's in town broadcasting games for the White Sox and the Marlins, and then gets the Cubs and the Marlins immediately thereafter. Thanks for listening to Hit and Run. It's me, Matt Spiegel, with you on 670 The Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
James Smith, the 6'3", 2'4", righty, in his rookie season here with the White Sox, brings the team on the field. He has been so sensational. But he goes down swinging for out number two.
Two high fastballs, the finale of which was 96 upstairs.
3-2. Got him swinging. Shane Smith bringing the heat here in the first. 2 pitch. Swing and a miss. 4 punch outs for Shane Smith here in the first 2 innings. There's that fastball at 96. 5th strikeout for Shane Smith. Shane Smith is quickly realizing his stuff is elite as he racks up another strikeout. Hassan! The new pitch for Shane Smith has just been magical this season, that changeup.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Folks, if you're looking at the standings in Major League Baseball and you're a White Sox fan, it'll make you crazy. They're 11-29. They're already 15 games back of the Detroit Tigers in the American League Central. Okay? The only team with fewer wins than them is the Colorado Rockies, who are looking to be worse than the 2024 White Sox. So that'll make you crazy. What you got to look at is the players that matter, players of consequence, dudes who are really good and young enough that they might be part of something good when this thing eventually gets good. Or if you must, if you have to, you think about possibly flipping them, although really veterans who are doing well are the ones that you want to flip. Shane Smith, the Rule 5 pickup from the Milwaukee Brewers, who has been on this show. In fact, he and I are very tight. He's got a nickname for me. Whenever I finish talking to Shane Smith on this show, whenever I finish talking to him, we refer to each other in a very, very friendly way.
But I do. I got to let you go, Maddie. I'm sorry. I got stuff to do here.
You're good. So I'm Maddie. Shane Smith calls me Maddie. That's how we roll. So, but anyway, it's the only time I ever talked to him, and I kept him too long. But the point is, this dude is a stud. He has a 2.08 ERA and 43 and a third innings. He's 25 years old. If you look at the leaders among pitchers in baseball, Shane Smith is tied for 9th with the best ERA in baseball, and it is not a fluke. As it looks, that dude misses bats. That changeup is real. He's got 3 or 4 different pitches at 3 or 4 different planes that mess with eye level, at 3 or 4 different bands of velocity. So it messes with your timing. That dude is real. And been talking about him since the spring, and I will continue to do so. And the performance is there. I mean, he's having as good a year as, you know, I mean, big time pitchers up there. I mean, he's got the same ERA as Tarek Skubal. He's ahead of Jesus Luzardo and Freddy Peralta and Michael King and Hunter Green. I mean, this is a real dude. Of course, because of where he is, the team loses when he pitches. According to OptiStats, Shane Smith is the only pitcher in the history of baseball with an ERA below 2.50 over his first 8 starts to have his team lose 7 of those 8 starts. Now, that is a weird-ass baseball stat that only they have, because only they looked for. But it tells you what's happening. He's started 8 times, he's been that good, and the team has lost 7 of them. The other big story for the White Sox is the call-up of Tim Elko, the first baseman. We have talked about it quite a bit on this show and otherwise. Last week, we had the tweet from Tyler Osik. Remember that? The former White Sox farmhand calling out Andrew Vaughn as part of the hashtag promote Tim Elko campaign. Well, Elko is up. Perhaps non-coincidentally, Andrew Vaughn has 2 home runs since the announcement of Tim Elko's call-up. Perhaps not coincidentally. But Elko made his debut. That is a big story as well on the South Side. And Elko talked about his debut, how good the feeling was.
Great feeling. Just get out there, get the butterflies out, and, get to playing.
So Shane Smith talked about Tim Elko's leadership, huh? Let's hear that.
I don't know how well you know Tim, but for someone who your own battled to get the opportunity, how much does that opportunity mean when you actually get it at the big league level?
It's incredible, and I hope Tim, I know he's looking for a hit tonight, and had a really good chance in his last AB, but I think he should be really happy and proud of himself to be here. We got a lot of young guys in here, and we're going to rely on Tim, so he keeps at it, he's going to do really well.
So that's pretty cool, Shane Smith talking about Tim Elko. So we'll see. Elko last night batted 8th, playing first base. And right, because Sean, check that real quick. Just double check me. He was playing first and Vaughn was DHing, right? Do I have that correct? It's going to be an interesting thing how they kind of make all this work, especially because at some point Kyle Teal needs to come up and Edgar Caro shouldn't go anywhere. And unless they trade Corey Lee when he's healthy, he might not go anywhere. Okay, yeah, so Vaughn was DHing. Like, they have a bunch of bats they got to figure out. Best case scenario, Vaughn gets hot, and you can deal him. Get him, go ahead, get him gone. The Andrew Vaughn thing, man, because he did it last week before the call-up. He went home on contact again from third base when he shouldn't. He's just... instinctively, he's not a smart baseball player. It's a bummer, man. Well, swing is pretty.
You know, the Red Sox need a guy that'll play first base.
You know, they really do. They really do. It's going to be Rafael Devers eventually. I'm glad you brought that up. It's a short show, so I don't have a ton of time to get to it, but I do want to. Devers, I'll just say this. Guys like Albert Pujols, Miguel Cabrera, and Jim Thome switched from third base to first base in the middle of careers that ended up being Hall of Fame careers. Okay? So you do it. If you're asked and your team needs you, you do it. That said, I think the Red Sox really screwed up in the spring. If they didn't say, look, we're going to move you to DH, when they were saying that, they should have also been saying, and we'd like you to take some ground balls at first because it's that time of your career. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to move you off third base, but we do want you to play. While we're doing this, why don't you take some ground balls at first? It'd be really good if you can add that to your arsenal. As you get older, that's going to be a spot where, you know, you can still play and we'd like you to play and we think you'd be good at it. Like, that should have been part of the conversation, because now you lose Tristan Casas and you've got nobody else. That's horrendous forethought by them. All right, last thing on the White Sox. In the fireworks on Friday night, after the White Sox won their game against the Marlins, in the fireworks, there appeared, through happenstance, in a still photo, as captured by White Sox photographers, a crucifix in the sky. Did you guys see this? And the White Sox tweeted a variety of pictures celebrating the win, and they tweeted, is that what we think it is in the sky? And that picture, of course, was cropped and zoomed in on and has joined just a remarkable array of Pope-related jokes regarding baseball on Twitter and otherwise. It's been an amazing week for Pope jokes, people. It's like, whew, it's quite a time. I mean, seriously, we know that he was at the 2005 World Series. We know that he grew up a White Sox fan. This Pope, it was probably angry when Tito Landrum homered in Game 4 of the 1983 ALCS. He probably thought Britt Burns was out there too long. You know what I mean? This Pope might make an edict where Jason Giambi has to give his MVP back to Frank Thomas because what we now know about the steroid era. That might be a papal edict that comes out of the Vatican. We don't know, folks. This Pope has opinions on Ron Karkovice. No other Pope in the history of the papacy has had opinions on Ron Karkovice. Of that, I can be sure. But look, I think that was a crucifix in the sky. And I texted someone at the White Sox last night to be sure. And it was indeed a crucifix in the sky. It was not doctored. It was not photoshopped. What times are these? What an amazing moment in human history, baseball history. It's a great world we're living in, bros. That's what I'm saying. What a great world we're living in.
It's what you get when the Pope's from Chicago.
This is what happens, man. And it's our last one. They're never going to give America another Pope. They're going to be like, oh my God, these people can't handle it. All they do is make jokes. Like, did you see the one with him dipping an Italian beef in the baptism bowl? I mean, what are we doing?
Do you see Portillo's is naming a beef after him already?
Are they really?
The Leo, I mean, yeah.
There were White Sox fans at the game last night in full Pope regalia. Just the entire
City
outfit.
Connect Pope regalia.
Oh, yeah. Well, friend of mine sent me pictures from the game last night of White Sox fans willingly kneeling to be blessed by the fans in full papal regalia on the concourse at Sox Park over at the Rate. I mean, this is what a world. I'm just proud to be here. It's Hit and Run on a Sunday morning. I'm Matt Spiegel with you. We're only here until 10:30, so we got to talk fast and squeeze a lot of stuff in. Top of the hour, team of the moment, and we'll dive deeper into Cade Horton's debut and his pitch usage and a particular moment. Whew, that really gets you going if you love young pitchers and you love baseball. Right here on Hit and Run on the Score.
Pretty simple. It is not.
McGill deals. Swanson. It's a high fly ball. Deep left center field. Forget about it. Long gone. Home run. Dansby Swanson. And the Cubs go up 4-0 over the Mets here in the fourth. For Swanson, that's his 8th home run of the season.
Truly amazing. God is so good. He's blessed us with so much. Yeah, prayer works, right? Prayer is powerful. We're just so thankful for this. And happy Mother's Day to my mom and, you know, soon-to-be Mal. So just so grateful. And, you know, we're really looking forward to it.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
That is Dansby Swanson thanking God and talking about the power of prayer, not because of that home run. I just want to be clear. I know it's been a very biblical week for baseball, but Dansby Swanson is thanking God and is grateful because his wife Mallory, the excellent soccer player here in Chicago and on the American team, the U.S. national team, is pregnant. And they announced that on Instagram. They're expecting a child, and that's what Dansby Swanson is so grateful for. He's also having a hell of a moment. It's Hit and Run with me, Matt Spiegel, here on 670 The Score. Thanks for hanging with us through our technical difficulties in the last segment. We will talk to Jack another time, and we're wishing all of you a wonderful Mother's Day, as well wishing my sister a happy Mother's Day. That is the mother of that broadcaster. And we're only here for about another 25 minutes or so because the Cubs and the Mets are playing very early on. So that is coming up pregame at about 10:35 right here on The Score. Dansby Swanson, you may recall, moved down to the 8th spot in the batting order, and he has stayed there for the most part in the last 11 games. And in those last 11 games, he has 4 home runs, he has 7 RBIs, he has 16 hits total in 11 games, a .421 batting average, an OPS of 1.278. Something has clicked. And whatever it is, I hope he keeps it rolling because the value at the bottom of the order has been massive now that PCA has been moved up, now that Carson Kelly, when he's in there, has usually been moved up. Dansby down there keeping that bottom of the order valuable. The Cubs have the most production from the 7, 8, 9 spots in the order far and away. more than any other team in baseball. The biggest story of the day in Chicago baseball was the debut of Cade Horton. Brad Keller was the opener, pitched a 1-2-3 first, which was a big deal. Part of that helped out by Pete Crow Armstrong making a routine catch of what really seemed like it was going to be a double off the bat of Juan Soto. PCA just gets there. And before we talk about Cade Horton, I mentioned this last segment. Let's hear it now. AJ Pruszynski and Adam Amin on the logic of moving PCA up to the leadoff spot last night when Ian Happ was injured and not able to go.
The Cubs have now lost three straight for the first time this year. Their offense was stymied last night, just two solo home runs and five hits. But overall this year, it's been the best offense in baseball, and they make a change tonight, putting Pete Crow Armstrong, the electric 23-year-old, into the leadoff spot in front of Kyle Tucker.
Craig Counsell has been this guy's biggest
advocate, supporter,
whatever you want, proponent, whatever you want to use, right, Adam? And this is why. He believed last year he would hit. The second half last year, he took off. And from there, he's only gotten better. His defense has improved, which was a big thing, but his offense has come. He steals bases. He hits for power. And then they brought in Kyle Tucker. And he has been the guy in the middle of the order that has made this team go. He's changed the lineup, changed the at-bats, and these two at the top of the order, now they're not Juan Soto, Francisco Lindor, Pete Alonso, but they're pretty darn good.
PCA hits leadoff again today with Kyle Tucker 2, Seiya Suzuki 3, Michael Busch 4, Carson Kelly 5. Those first five all having real good years for the Chicago Cubs. Nico Hoerner hits 6, Dansby up to 7, Justin Turner is the DH without Ian Happ around, and John Birdie at third base. Birdie replaced by Nicky Lopez for defensive purposes last night. It's an interesting stuff at the bottom of that lineup and at the bottom of the roster to think about as the days go on, and we'll have time. Justin Turner looks kind of cooked offensively, doesn't he? So how long do you hold on to Justin Turner? Thing is, they love what he brings in that clubhouse, man. Everybody references him. And he's referenced in regards to PCA quite a bit as well. So I don't know that Justin Turner's leash is as short as some of you would like it to be. When and if Matt Shaw comes back, I suspect Vidal Brujan will be designated for assignment. That is just my gut on that. It is something we can certainly look at a little more closely. But for right now, a couple other Cub issues that we need to think about. The first is the bullpen. Ryan Pressly, who got lit up by the Giants in extra innings on Wednesday night. Actually, this was Tuesday night when he gave up all those runs in extra innings for the worst extra inning loss since 1983 by anybody in MLB. The biggest extra inning offensive inning in the history of Wrigley Field. Pressly pitched on Friday night. I mean, are people even aware of this? Pressly came in the sixth inning of a game the Cubs were trailing 6-1. Sixth inning of a game you're down 5. Folks, that's not high leverage. That's a closer being used in the lowest of all possible leverage. He was fine. 19 pitches, gave up one hit, scoreless inning. And here's Craig Counsell after the game talking about Presley's usage.
He pitched well. He pitched well. I thought he did a good job, and just trying to get him back on track.
So that is just an opportunity for Ryan Pressly to go out there with no pressure and remind himself he's a good big league pitcher, et cetera. He's 36 years old. He knows he's been a good big league pitcher. Is he still now? I don't know. He doesn't get a lot of swings and miss, does Ryan Pressly, and there's a lot more to talk about there. But let's say this, in this moment, last night, they did not use Ryan Pressly. Keller, the first inning, Horton the next 4, and then you had Pomerantz and Palencia and Merriweather and Hodge. No slot for Ryan Pressly in a tight game in New York. So Porter Hodge was your closer last night. Has the guard been changed? I wondered openly how much Ryan Pressly was promised. If he was promised something, it seemed to be that he was promised to get closing chances, get save chances when he greenlit the trade. Because remember, he had a no trade clause. He had to greenlight it, and it took a while to make it happen from Houston. I mean, is he done getting save chances? I'm not sure. Probably not, is my guess. But very interesting to see Porter Hodge in a big moment last night. And he had a man on, but got the double play ball and got out of it. So that is a big thing to follow. And we'll get to the Cade Horton thing I really want to discuss with you in a moment. But first, speaking of the moment, we cannot deny you, the listeners, nor this team, its existence as the team of the moment. Plus, we need to find out whether Ron on the South Side is going to make money or lose money. Who's the team of the moment? So many options out there. There's some good teams. The Royals are rolling right now. What the Padres score? 20 runs last night? They went 20 to nothing? Is that what that final
pretty
was?
Pretty close, yeah.
It was something like that. It was just ridiculous. But they've been the team of the moment before. No, 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 no. All due respect to the Padres, but in this holiest of weeks, it is, of course, the Cardinals who are the team of the moment.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Now Victor Scott, the second, is up. He's riding a nine-game hit streak. Runners have big leads. There they go. And the pitch slashed into left field. There's the base hit. Gorman around third will score without a throw. Victor Scott, the second, with a two-out, two-strike hit, makes it 2-0.
Widespread stance in the left-handed batter's box. He swings and he drills that into center field. And a diving catch made by Victor Scott, the second, out number three. If that gets down and certainly gets by him, it's a 1-0 Nationals lead. But Vic turned in the play, and we go to the second, no score.
There's that Cardinal defense we were talking about. Victor Scott with a sprawling catch. That robs Lowe.
It was the team of the moment, offering entertainment. The team of the moment, they caught our eye.
Team of the moment is the St. Louis Cardinals. Thought we weren't going to have to worry about them. They've now won seven straight games. The last time the Cardinals won seven straight was an eight-game win streak 3 years ago in 2022. This offense, this Cardinals offense, has the second best batting average in Major League Baseball at .261. They don't have a lot of pop. They're 20th in home runs, but they're second in batting average. They are third in on-base percentage. They're 10th in runs scored, so they're finding a way, partially because they hit .271 with runners in scoring position. That's good for eighth as an offense. By the way, the Cubs, .288 with runners in scoring position. They are second to the Dodgers. So the Cardinals' offense is getting it done. But the last four games, it's been the rotation. Four straight outings where the starting pitcher has gone at least six and allowed two or fewer earned runs. They've got some dudes who are pitching very well. Sonny Gray, Matthew Liberatore, who came from Tampa, I want to say in the Randy Arozarena trade. Either way, Liberatore, the former Ray. Eric Fetty, the former White Sox, has been pretty good. And then last night, or yesterday, Andre Pallant was very good. Steven Matz has been kind of a swing guy for them, doing whatever he needs to do. Miles Michaelis has been bad. He pitches today, but he's been good in the past. And then that bullpen has really just been okay. Ryan Helsley is the closer, and he's good and has been rumored to be on the trade dock. But, you know, what are you going to do when all of a sudden you're just two games back? Or is it 2.5 back? They're second place in the National League Central. Second place, man. What's up with that? They're two games back. They're ahead of the Reds and the Brewers and the Pirates. Is it going to be Cubs-Cardinals again? I was not prepared for this. The highlights you heard showcased Victor Scott II. They're very fast, very fun, young, speedy center fielder. He's in the midst of a 10-game hitting streak, during which he's hitting .387 with a homer, seven ribs, seven runs, two stolen bases. But it has been highlight reel defense on the regular from that guy. Big-time speed. He scored from first on a single by Arenado on Wednesday. He was channeling Enos Slaughter. Folks, ask your grandparents about the 1946 World Series. Okay? Lord knows you could ask my grandfather about it. But yeah, Victor Scott II is fun. Wilson Contreras is playing first base, occasionally DHing. They have better catchers at handling the pitchers, as evidenced by the recent run of starting excellence. So there they are. The Cardinals are team of the moment. Southside Ron, pay off the people who guessed the Cardinals. I'm sure that most did. It's Matt Spiegel with you here on 670 The Score. I want to talk about Cade Horton. What's that there, Sean?
I was going to say, we do have Ron on hold if you want him real quick.
No, I appreciate it, man. Thank you. Tell Ron, I love him. I appreciate you, callers. With all the tech issues and with our short show, we're going to keep it moving right here on 670 The Score. Thank you, Ron. Thank you, callers. Thank you, everybody. We'll be back with a nice full show next weekend on the weekend of Cubs and White Sox here in Chicago. I want to focus, though, on Cade Horton because there's a moment that we got to talk about. There's a moment in this game when in the fifth inning, he was in trouble and had Juan Soto at the plate with a man on. And it was a very concerning moment. And I don't know if he's going to talk about it in these post-game cuts. At first, let's hear from Cade Horton when asked after the game on what moments he's going to look back on from today, his major league debut.
The bus getting stuck in traffic. I won't forget that. I'm like, gosh, I'm showing up an hour late almost. So I won't forget that. Just, I think the atmosphere being on Fox, that was super cool. My family being here. Just first plate appearance, getting this first strikeout. And so that was really cool.
That's awesome. That is just tremendous. So the fact that he, you know, really, really feels all the majesty of the moment, everything that kid should feel. And yeah, the bus was stuck in traffic, but he wasn't solo, so that's a good thing. His last inning of work is that fifth inning, okay? And in that fifth inning, you're hoping that he doesn't have to deal with the gauntlet again, the bottom of the fifth, for the New York Mets, but he does. And he's got Tyrone Taylor as the nine hitter who strikes out swinging. Then Lindor singles to Kyle Tucker, and he's got Juan Soto up, and it's a great at bat because that's what Soto does. He is just such a beast. You remember his at bats in the playoffs with incredible displays of power, the home run to send Cleveland home after an incredible at bat. He spits on pitches. He's got such a good eye. And he gets ahead in the count 2-0 on two fastballs. There's a slider, which is Horton's best pitch, that gets a called strike. And then there's a foul on another fastball at 2-2. Couple things about Horton. He has been 85% fastball slider in the minor leagues. 85%, just those two pitches. And once you see the slider, it makes a lot more sense because the slider is slower than some other people's. It's between 83 and 86. I heard Ron Coomer talking about it in the very first inning he got a chance to look at Horton when he said, man, that short arm swing he's got, if he's got some change of pace, that is going to help him. When he gets a change up or a slow curve, and then he saw one, the curve is around the same speed as the slider. So the slider sort of acts as a change of pace a little bit. But what he does have when he eventually throws you a change or a curve is a different look, a different shape, right? So back to the game moment we're talking about, he had not thrown a change up all night long, not once. And at 2-2 to Juan Soto, he breaks out the change for the first time all night long.
Lindor goes, the pitch, tap, foul at the plate. And now there's some dispute as to whether or not Soto even made contact with the pitch. Home plate umpire Lance Barksdale said, no, you did not make contact. That's a swing and miss, strike three. The ball then hit off the shin guard of Amaya. So that's an out. Soto's retired and two away here in the last of the fifth on the strikeout.
So once the chaos got sorted out and everybody had a chance to look at it, you realized what it was. It was a changeup that Juan Soto had one of the most awkward swings I've ever seen him have in my life. It was a changeup that moved so much Miguel Amaya didn't catch it. It hit off the glove and then hit the ground and rolled away. That's why the ump and Zach Zaidman and everybody thought that it was a foul ball. It was not a foul ball. It was just a nasty changeup that tailed low and away from Juan Soto and confused everybody in the ballpark, the hitter most of all. How about the stones on that kid, 23-year-old Cade Horton, to throw his changeup, his fourth or fifth best pitch, fifth most trusted pitch. He's got the four-seamer. He's got a two-seam fastball that sinks. He's got the curve. The slider is his best pitch. And, oh, by the way, here's a changeup. Was that pitch number 74, I think it was? And Juan Soto had no idea that was even possible. Here's Cade Horton talking about that changeup to Soto after the game.
That pitch is overlooked. I hadn't thrown it all day, and that's the exact reason I wanted to use it there, is because I knew he probably wasn't expecting a changeup there. I throw it so little on the scouting report, and he'd already seen a lot of breaking stuff, and so I just wanted to mix something in.
Dude, that's the kind of thing that gets you excited about a young pitcher. That is a ballsy, ballsy pitch in that moment, in that choice. You're making your MLB debut, and you go to your fifth best pitch against Juan Soto, and you get him looking that ugly. Miguel Amaya, the catcher who guided Cade Horton through the night, talked about that changeup as well.
To be honest, it was a shake by him. He shook a fastball up, and he wanted that changeup, so he executed right where he needed to execute it, so it was a perfect changeup to put him out.
Okay, let's say dude again.
Dominating the sun.
Dominating the sun, as we learned. Oh, sorry, the zone. It sure sounded like dominating the sun. He shook off his catcher. He's a rookie making his debut in inning four at Citi Field against Juan Soto with Lindor on and Alonso up next. And he's like, you know what would be good? You know what would be good? Let me throw my fifth best pitch to Juan Soto. He's not going to expect this one. I can put it exactly where I need to. And he put it right there on the low and outside corner to Soto, and it fades away, and he gets an awkward swing and miss. That is so cool. Because, look, he knows that's his last time facing Soto. The whole strategy with the opener is to limit the number of times he's going to have to face the top of the order and deal with all of that. Eventually, you want it to be somebody you trust to go through three times with the lineup in full. I mean, hey, maybe four times, but, you know, beggars can't be choosers, but at least three. But the fact that he's got that variety means that maybe he's going to be able to mix it up and mix and match and fool these guys and use his location to really go deep into games. If you can use all those pitches, man, oh, my God, that gets exciting. Here's a part of that cut from Miguel Amaya that you heard. Dominating the sun. It's part of this one. We played it earlier. I want you to hear it again because Miguel Amaya has been around a while now and he knows pitchers.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Who are battlers when he has one, and he had one last night.
He's a pro. He's a competitor out there. Just notice it right away, his presence. He's a, you know, he's a warrior. He was executing good pitches and dominating the sun.
Dominating the sun and executing good pitches, and he's a warrior. An amazing fact to consider. Wait, there's no way that's true. Miguel Amaya is the longest tenured Cub in terms of the system. When was Ian Happ drafted? The year after that? So 2014, Amaya was drafted. So the longest tenured member of the organization on this big league roster is Miguel Amaya, which is a crazy way to think about his Cubs career.
Very similar to Wilson Contreras. He was the longest tenured Cub, even though, you know, guys that have been made their debuts before him.
Yeah. So, you know, it's amazing. And Amaya had a great moment last night where the pitching coach came out to talk to the reliever when there were some insurance runs out there. And Amaya is at the plate and realizes that when the pitching coach comes out and the pitcher has been wild, more than likely they're going to be attacking the zone or dominating the sun right away in the first pitch of the at-bat, right? And I'll tell you, Miguel Amaya sits on a first pitch fastball and hits a ground ball single through the hole on the left side for two insurance runs to make it 6-3. And after Brett Beatty homers again off Julian Merriweather, those insurance runs were massive. So props to Miguel Amaya. Also, another Amaya moment with Palencia. Daniel Palencia had a great inning last night in relief, and he got in trouble and got out of it by striking out Juan Soto with a slider, a 3-2 slider, and that was a ballsy pitch call by Miguel Amaya. Amaya and Palencia, because Palencia's fastball is the bread and butter, but the slider's pretty good. Either way, you know, there was certainly a thought from Juan Soto that he was going to get another fastball at 100 or 101 or maybe down to 99, and Soto might have been all over that. So, you know, that was a great pitch call. These Cubs are fun. That was a big win last night. Cade Horton is here to help everyone on this big league team, to help the team be as good as they can possibly be. Young players of consequence matter in the course of a season when you're a contender. Their excitement, their energy, their naivete can be part of it. Part of what makes a pitching mix really good, what makes a locker room, a clubhouse really good. Thanks so much to Sean Sears for doing a great job this morning. Thanks for battling through the technical difficulties. Thank you, listeners, for hanging around and battling through the technical difficulties earlier. Thanks to Jack McMullen for a dynamite 25 seconds of a guest hit right here on the show. Zach Zaidman and Ron Coomer will have your call of the first pitch at 11:05. But Cubs pregame is next. I'll be back tomorrow with Spiegel and Holmes right here on 670 The Score. Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers out there.
Dominating the sun.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.